You're listening to Shoot the Breeze on Resonance 104.4 FM. I'm Marcus E. Acker with someone who apparently doesn't want to talk to us by himself, Dom Lenoir. So
I'm just trying to include other people.
Constantly. It's like, yeah, he can come in, she can come in, and no, we want to talk to you.
All right, I'm here.
Thank you very much for inviting us on set.
No problem.
So we've already asked others what the film is about, but we want to get your point of view. What is this project about?
It's a mockumentary about an aspiring serial killer. Ed Hartland plays the lead, who is this aspiring guy who wants to follow in the footprints of famous serial killers.
Ed Bundy.
Jared plays the interviewer, who's a sort of Louis Theroux style character. And it's quite a funny but also kind of gruesome at times documentary.
So how did you come aboard the project?
So Connor is the director, and I met Connor some time ago. He's been doing a lot of shorts, he's won some awards, he's been looking at putting a feature together for some time. Obviously, he's in the usual sort of cat and mouse of how do you get your first feature made, how do you get the money, etc., etc. So basically, he's came up with this script, which Ed Hartland wrote. And the idea is like, okay, how do we put together a film? And basically, I've been helping sort of advise, put together some people for it. He's done a lot of the work himself with his own contacts, and basically bringing together everyone that he knows. And the sort of the core team have ended up being the producers. Lucinda's come along as a co-producer, who's, you know, very good and has done the line budget. Brought on AD, Toby, the first AD. And basically it's become like a very community-driven project where everyone's sort of mucking in together and just getting it out there, and it's actually a very well-written and ambitious film.
So as someone who's gone through this process before, you've seen it from beginning to end, from inception to execution, when would you anticipate that this project would be available for people to watch?
I will have to double check that, but I imagine about 3 months of post, and then probably soon after that. But I have to check with the other producers.
You expect to hit the festivals like Fright Fest and like Halloween time release for people to watch it?
Yeah, I think because it's got such a good, is a mockumentary and is very funny, but I think there's a very strong horror presence and they haven't sort of shied away from the gore. So I think it's got like a really, really good chance of hitting those markets, you know, very strongly. So I think that's always been the aim, is to hit both.
So from your point of view as a producer who's coming on board to sort of promote indie filmmaking in Britain, what would you like our audience to do to support this project and other British filmmaking endeavours?
I think for the main thing is, it really is, if you're in a position to help other people, if you've done it before, if you have any kind of thing you can give at all, you should do it, because there are so many barriers in the film industry. Like, I mean, at this kind of level, doing your first feature, it's very much like there's a certain way of putting it together, and it's not really sort of talked about how you do that. And a lot of it is collaboration. When you start doing, you know, stuff in the sort of £1 million range upwards, you start going out to sort of major names, it's a very different process, and it isn't something you can do on your own. So whatever stage you're at, you still need people who are loyal and who support each other, and who will give you that first break to show what you're capable of. And I think this film is like remarkable what these guys are achieving on such a, you know, on a small budget, on an indie budget.
Dom, thank you very much for taking a few minutes out of your lunch break to come up here to us.
Cool.
So we'll grab somewhere
else. Yeah, I'll go grab the others, yeah.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You're listening to Shoot the Breeze on Resonance 104.4 FM. I'm Marcus E. Acker, and we've got two people, two integral parts of the film that we're, the film set that we're currently on at the moment. They'll tell us their names and what their roles are on the project when the screaming starts. Please tell us your name and what your role is on the project.
Hi, my name's Connor Baru, and I'm the director.
And I'm Adrian Mustay, and I'm the director of photography.
Okay, so Adrian has been the one person that while we've been on set, we've just been hearing you doing a lot of, you've been carrying the camera, walking around and sort of aiming it when we're expecting the director to be doing that. So just before we get, we've already had a number of people tell us what the project actually is. Connor, we'll start with yourself. What does a director do in a film, just for those people who are interested?
I think from my personal point of view, directors overseeing the whole project, bearing in mind everything, all the small parts, having some sort of say in every element of the film, but also allowing the individual creatives to bring their vision. Adrian as a DP, I don't want to stifle him with just completely controlling the visual look of the film. I want it to be a discussion, and I think it very much is that. We bounce ideas, and most of the time we sort of meet somewhere in the middle, and it's great to collaborate with someone and let them take charge of their own field.
Okay, Adrian, I want to come back to you just in this one question. At what point of the collaboration process, developing the idea, did you come into it?
Quite early on. So once the script is kind of in place, the director would probably work with Connor several times before. So when they know they've got a script ready for me to kind of read, they would send it to me and see if I would be willing, happy to work on it. From early on, even before I read the script, just like the idea, you know, of Aidan being a serial killer, just pulled me in. I thought, yeah, I really want to work on this, even before reading the script. Early on, so we're always discussing things from a very early stage. In the pre-production stage, very early in the pre-production stage.
Oh, excellent. Okay, and then Connor, come back to you. As the director of the project, effectively it is your vision that we're seeing. Ed Hartland, he wrote the script. He had the initial idea of what the project's going to be. You come on and as the director, you take the project and you basically let everyone else see what you're seeing. Mm-hmm. So tell us, what were your influences when you looked at this project and said, this is something I want to take up?
Well, I was quite fortunate, actually, because me and Ed have worked together for a long time as well. We've known each other for 8-9 years now, and we collaborate a lot. And we always bounce ideas, scripts that we have, I write as well, so we bounce ideas. And I was very fortunate to come into this, again, at a very early stage. So there's still a lot of room to collaborate while still scripting. And we have been still working on the script right up until the shoot dates. We're still on set, changing things, making tweaks, making changes. If it's not working, we're just happy to change. Ed's not precious at all about his script in a great way. If it's not working, he's very, very happy to lose it. So I got to make sure it was working for me when it was still a script, which is a real privilege, I think, because you can really start thinking ahead before you're actually on set and even in pre-production. So yeah, it was great.
Were there any other projects that you had in mind when you thought, you know, just that sort of that style or that framing would be perfect in this idea and work within that sort of vein?
Yeah, I mean, of course there are influences, but I'm not actually, this isn't my normal kind of vibe in terms of, I'm not hugely into serial killers or horror, or at least I wasn't before I started this project. So, and also mockumentaries, I've seen the obvious ones, you know, I've seen The Office. A few people flagged up What We Do in the Shadows, because I'd never seen that, the film, not the series, and of course when I saw that, we were already quite far into the script and the pre-production and everything, but of course there were small influences, but it's just sort of the docs stuff as well. It's just trying to find that balance between making it a bit naff like The Office in terms of the visual look, but also cinematic. It's that weird blend that we're still trying to make it look sort of cinematic whilst a bit naff, if that makes any sense at all.
Speaking of that sort of look, Adrian, I'll turn back to you. Sort of what visual examples inspire you as a DP in your own project?
Well, I mean, I'm quite fortunate that I actually work in TV documentaries mostly. So I do a lot of docs for PBS, Discovery, Nat Geo. So my background is mostly, you know, documentary, actuality, that sort of stuff. And also I've, you know, watched The Office. I'm a big fan of The Office, big fan of What We Do in the Shadows. Mm. So they're all kind of, you know, visual cues, visual references for me. And like I say, you know, with the interest in serial killers and mockumentary in general, I really had a good starting point in my head as to how I wanted to shoot this. And, you know, it's just great having that documentary background, because you know how the camera reacts to certain moments, how a camera reacts to a character's moment of despair or loss or happiness. And there's just like so many things that, you know, I'm very fortunate to be working with a talented cast, because they give me lots to work with camera wise. That camera ultimately is a character in the scene as well. You know, you've got to think of it that way. You know, when something's happening on screen, that camera is reacting a certain way, and it's, you know, giving the viewer that emotion as well, that extra emotion, just bringing whatever's happening on screen closer to them at home watching. It's just a fantastic project to work on. I absolutely have loved every moment of it so far.
A couple of questions just to wrap up. Connor, do you storyboard your work before you go into it?
Usually, yeah. My previous projects, my first feature, but my previous shorts, I have. I've been a lot more sort of prepared with the shots. But what we found early on, because we actually shot a teaser before the full feature, found that you can't storyboard a lot of this. You can have the general idea, but as Adrian said, the camera is a character and he needs to be able to react. We're allowing a little bit of improvisation as well. Obviously they know the scenes, but like around the dialogue they can improvise. So if something great happens, there's a great reaction. I have to trust Adrian to feel it and you know, pan the camera, zoom in at the right moment. You can't, I've realized, me anyway, you can't storyboard that stuff. There's got to be a fluidity and a degree of freedom on set, and it's working really well, and I'm actually loving it. I'm actually dreading going back to the more rigid dramas and stuff like that where it has to be a bit more controlled. So yeah, it's been a good experience. I
mean, that's what gives it its realism, you know, the fact that, you know, we just let things play out, you know, we just carry on going. We, you know, Connor doesn't call cut until, you know, he absolutely has to. And we've had so many gold moments by just letting it flow, just, you know, quick cheeky move of the camera and someone's looking straight down the barrel of the lens and a little quick zoom. It's just, there's so much to work with. You know, there's so much that's going to be like gold dust in the edit. Yeah. when you get to cutting this, it's going to be great.
David, you've done a good job. One quick question: what is the role exactly of DP?
DP, so director of photography, is responsible for everything visual to the film. So he's the head of the camera department, for example. So he will tell his camera department to do certain things, so even like things like a gaffer for lighting, Spark, who's responsible for making sure the lights have power, but he's pretty much the head of the camera department. And my role is slightly, you know, more of a cinematographer on this project, because I'm operating the camera as well. So if a DOP is actually operating the camera, he becomes a cinematographer because he's telling the story with the camera. So that's kind of what I'm doing, because I have that flexibility to move around with the camera and do as I see fit to some degree. Obviously, Connor will interject and he'll be like, can we just stay on, you know, Ed a little bit more, or, you know, this character here, can we just stay on them a little bit more? But ultimately, it's, yeah, my kind of, I've got to feel that scene and just kind of react and move and pull focus. And so I'm pretty much doing everything on the camera myself.
So you're the eye of the film, while Connor's the brain, in a sense, where you basically look at something, you catch it, and then he says, right, focus on that, and then you carry on.
I think it's both.
You know, obviously I'm doing a lot. I'm paying attention to the frame, making sure it's framed correctly, making sure we're as sharp as possible on focus. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Connor's got to do the same. He's looking at making sure that I'm sharp on focus, but he's also obviously looking at performance as well. So there's a lot going on, you know, between us. There really is. And I've been very fortunate to work with Connor before, and we work really well together.
We can just grunt at each other now. We sort of, unspoken language.
We can get angry at each other, and we know it's not personal attack. It's sure. A professional. It's, you know, we're working, you know, at the end of the day. You know, if we're a bit pissy at each other through the day, at the end of the day, we just, you know, we have a hug and be like...
No, I hold on to the resentment.
It is interesting. It's kind of a bit like live TV in the sense that you're not just giving a couple of direction notes before and after the take. There's a lot of ongoing stuff whilst you're rolling because of the nature of how you're doing.
Yeah, we're getting through a lot. We're getting through, like, you know, 10 pages, sometimes more a day, so... We're still, the way this visual style allows us more freedom, so we can move a lot faster than usual, but we still have a lot to get through. So sometimes, instead of rehearsing for ages first, we'll pick up those rehearsals on camera. It's the beauty of digital as well. So there is definitely tweaking whilst we're actually rolling, but it's working well, and we're still getting little moments from each bit, you know, and it's helping us discover. And for me, I find that when the camera's rolling, the stakes are there, the actors always perform better. When it's a rehearsal, they're always holding back a little bit, and you don't quite know what they're going to do on the day. So
we won't take up much of your time. Just Connor, we'll start with you. Mm-hmm. Any projects that you want to promote that are coming out either before or after this one?
No, to be honest, no. I've been, I'm an actor as well. I've been doing a few bits and pieces in that department. A few things coming out relatively soon. But the directing, we've been focusing on this for a fair few months in pre-production and working on a few other scripts that I want to direct after this.
Your social media tags?
Social media tags, good question. I mean, this is at When the Screaming Starts, I believe, on everything, Facebook, Twitter and Insta. I think I'm at Connor Baru on most social media platforms. Excellent.
We're going to be linking it to the show anyway, and when we're posting this out, we'll post that as well. Adrian, what about yourself?
Been working on this for a little while. Had Christmas break in between all the preparation as well, but after this I go on to a Nat Geo Discovery documentary series about Herculaneum near Pompeii, south of Italy. So that's the next thing that I'm going on to do.
Excellent. And your social media tag?
My Instagram's probably the best one. That's where I kind of do pretty much everything. That's @ADM.
At ADM.
Yeah, ADEYM.
Excellent. Adrian,
yeah, great.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. You're listening to Shoot the Breeze on Resonance 104.4 FM. I'm Marcus E. Acko, and I'm here with two other people from the film When the Screaming Starts. Please tell us your name, your names, and what you play in the film.
So my name is Jared Rogers. I play the character Norman Graysmith, who is he's quite an aspiring documentary filmmaker. Thinks of himself as like a Louis Theroux-style documentary guy, but he's nowhere near that level.
Okay. And yourself?
I'm Ed Hartland, and I play Aidan Mendel in When the Screaming Starts, and I wrote it.
You wrote the script as well?
I did, yeah.
Excellent. So we'll go with you, since you came up with the concept. Sort of, what inspired you to come up with this particular project?
I was reviewing the Ted Bundy tapes for London Horror Society, and I found myself kind of thinking it was a little bit of a strange watch to binge, and I kind of imagined what would it be like if it was someone like me, rather than this slightly mythical creature that is Ted Bundy.
So yeah, that's why you centered the character around yourself, not yourself particularly, but you took it in the sense that you put yourself in the place of Ted Bundy and then figured how this project would work out.
Yeah, it kind of became a, what would it be like if it was someone from, you know, from Britain instead of from America? What would it be like if it was someone with my kind of character traits but taken to quite an extreme? Quite a severe extreme, I would point out.
And then how did you move on from writing the script onto where we are now, where you're on set, hearing your words being said by other people?
It's a big, big move that it's come through, because it started out with conversations with director Connor and Jared, who's playing Norman Graysmith. We went through drafts and drafts of it, back and forth, working out what worked, what didn't work, and going through read-throughs, and it became this big kind of almost a year of doing that, really, to get to this stage where we were shooting it.
Okay. Jared, I want to come back to you. You mentioned Louis Theroux as one of your sort of not necessarily inspirations for the character, but yeah, as a descriptor of the character.
Yeah.
Did you follow his style of documentary technique to be able to bring that to the character?
Yeah, absolutely. Like I do watch a lot of like Louis Theroux's style of documentary, how he can ask a question and kind of leave that sort of silence to sort of the person who he's interviewing to sort of fill that sort of that silence with their answer, but just kind of try and keep the naturalism of that, like a Louis Theroux will have like in his documentaries, but there's a sort of a slight edge of like a David Brent or like an Alan Partridge or something, where it's like there's that kind of slight ridiculousness of Norman's interviewing techniques, and he thinks he's a Louis Theroux, but he's not. He's just a bit of a fool and a bit of an amateur. And
excellent. So just coming from your point of view, what should audiences expect watching this particular film?
I think like we want it to be as naturalistically as possible, that they believe that this is a real documentary, and it's just as the film progresses, there's more and more little kind of hints and drops that everything isn't what it quite seems, and there's a comedy there, but there's a darkness to it as well, because this story is about a guy that wants to, it's an aspiring serial killer, and as much as there's humour in that, or there's humour in the mockumentary of it, there's still that kind of underlying of this guy wants to kill people, and it's very wrong.
Okay. Ed, I'll come back to you. How long did it take you to come up with the script? And you said it went through a number of revisions. For you personally, when you wrote the script originally, how long did that process take you?
The first draft took, it was 2 days of writing, but that is a very different story to the one that we've got today. But the initial draft, yeah, was written over a weekend after having had a conversation with Connor. And then the next kind of set of drafts, it was a series of months, really. I think it's just under a year, really, since we first came up with the concept.
Okay. Do you, both of you, we'll start with you, Ed, and then we'll move back to you, Jared. Do you have any projects that either come out before this or after this that you'd like to let people know about so they can come and see it?
I have...
So It's okay, we can cut that bit.
All right.
Oh, just leave it there.
Just a bit of, bit of London atmosphere. So I have a short film, An Actor's Life for Me, which will be screened at the Dorking Film Festival on April the 4th.
Excellent. Social media tags that we can use, do we put on online? You're not on social media?
Not at the moment for that film, but at Ed Hartland for myself.
Excellent. And yourself, Jared?
I'm on Twitter and Instagram at JaredRodgers_. Do a lot of spoken word and sketch videos, comedy sketch stuff as well. There's a YouTube channel, youtube.com/JaredRodgersWord. That's me.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you very much.
Before you go, one thing.
We'll cut out the thank you, gentlemen.
It's okay, don't worry. You said that there was a film festival in Devon.
Dorking. Dorking Film Festival, which is the 4th of April.
4th of April for how long? Just one day?
I think it's just the one day. Yeah.
All right. Okay. Thanks a lot.
Okay.
Cheers.
Now
Cheers.
Can I say thank you?
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
You're listening to Shoot the Breeze on Resonance 104.4 FM. I'm Marcus E. Acko, and I'm joined by three actors from the film When the Screaming Starts. So please tell us your names. We'll start from, my left to right. This is left.
My left.
Your left, yes. Go all the way to right. So tell us your name and the character that you play.
Hi there. My name is Corvin Niku, and I'm playing Masood.
Hi, my name is Ronja Haukold, and I'm playing Veronica.
Hi, my name is Vore Haukold, and I play Victoria.
Excellent. So for those people, obviously you can't see this, Veronica, names again?
Yeah, my name, real name or?
Yeah, your real name.
Real name is Ronja and her name is Vore, so we're twins. That's why we sound the same.
Yeah, exactly. So it's not just duplicated. So thank you very much for joining us on this. What brought you to the project? We'll start with the twins first. What brought you to this particular project?
Actually, Connor contacted us on Facebook. Yeah, because he had, you know, the idea of actually having twins. So, you know, it's a kind of a limited how many twins there are.
Yeah.
He didn't know any twins personally, so that's why he contacted us. He saw us on Mandy, which is like an acting page. And he just told us about his project, and we thought it was a pretty good opportunity for us.
Yeah, so Mandy.com, that's the website for actors and for filmmakers who are trying to get projects done.
Yeah. Exactly, yes.
Oh, excellent. So he contacted you, and what did he tell you about this particular project that interested you in it?
Well, first of all, it's a comedy horror mockumentary, and we haven't really done anything like that, so we thought it was really intriguing for us, and we also thought that we fit the part, so that's
We just wanted to try something new, you know?
Excellent.
Yeah.
And is it Kaveh?
Kaveh,
yes. So what about yourself? How did you get brought into the project?
Well, I worked with Connor in the past. I know him from ArtSet, the drama school we went to, and after ArtSet, we worked on a few short film projects. One of the projects we worked on, there was a character we developed, which was kind of very similar to Masood. Mm-hmm. So when they were working on this script for this film, Connor really liked to add the character of Masood into this. He thought this will really add some spice into the into the mix, exactly. And that's how it was. So he asked me, and I was like, yeah, I'm off for being part of the project.
We've been told by the producer who's standing right behind us, just making sure that we don't ask too many questions about your guy. He says that now. But we can't go in too much into what your characters do, because obviously that will spoil the mystery of the film. But what were your influences? We'll start with you, Kaveh, and we'll move to you, ladies. When you got the script and you got the idea of what your character was, what was the main influence that you thought, you know what, this is something that I can channel to be able to bring into this project?
It's hard to say without
spoiling.
Let me
rephrase the question. What was your way of preparing for the character you played?
The character is, in some sense, it brings another theme into the story that wasn't there before, and it's an interesting subject that I thought it would be good to have. And that's also what Connor was. We were talking about it before the script. It was really good to have this theme into the story. And so that was kind of the main objective of having Masood into the story. And
I think Masood kind of lifts the whole thing. Like, it's kind of, it makes it even more humorous, in my opinion.
And what about yourselves?
I think that one of the most important things about the twins is that they want to experience new things. So, you know, I think it's important to think about what you get excited about in life, kind of, and then like trying to relate it to your character. Okay. I think that's one of the main things that we were trying to do.
Now, you mentioned that this is your first foray into horror comedy. What did you do in the past?
We've done commercial, I've done a voice acting for a video game, and then we are part of a feature film as well, The Kingsman, that's coming out in September. Just two scenes, but yeah, it was really amazing.
Yeah.
So it's also cool to work on like a smaller set and, you know, get to know people like a little bit more than if you were on a big set.
Excellent. Okay, so we'll just wrap up really quickly. What are your social media tags so that people can follow the work that you've done both before and after this comes out?
Okay, so my Instagram is at varhaukholt, so it's written VARHAUGHOLT. And then mine is Ronja, which is RONJA, and then the same surname, which is Haukholt. And then we also have a Haukholt Twins Instagram.
Oh, excellent. And yourself?
My Facebook is Kaveniku, so KaveniKu, and it's the same with Instagram.
Instagram, excellent. Thank you very much. Enjoy your lunch.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you.
It's radio. You're listening to Shoot the Breeze on Resonance 104.4 FM. I'm Marcus E. Acko.
I'm David Campbell.
And we're on set on the film When the Screaming Starts. I remember the name of the film. That's Dom Lenoir in the background. Correcting my mistake. We're here with one of the actors on the project. Please tell us your name and what the name of the character you play is.
Yes, so my name is Yesin Ator, and I'm here playing Jack.
So how did you get involved in the project?
Funny story, actually. Me and Connor, who's my creative sparring partner, we've been making films for now 8 years.
Wow.
We graduated together, and most of the team, actually, we're all from the same graduating year at Arts Ed on the EMA course. And ever since graduating, we've just been passionate about making films and just doing things our own, on our own backs and taking responsibility instead of waiting by the phone. And when the script came in from Ed Hartland, the writer, they called me and said, you know, this is what we're doing, and there's no way I'm going to say no. Of course. Is my crew.
Do you like the project?
Oh, absolutely. The thing I like about the project most is the concept. I mean, I've never seen a concept. I've never read a concept like it. And in true Ed fashion, it's got his signature mark on it.
So what do you do to get yourself into the character that you're about to play?
So for me personally, I researched the genre more than anything. And, you know, people, if we're going to talk about Jack, who I'm playing, for me what it was about acceptance and being a part of something. I don't want to say too much. I don't want to give the film away. But for Jack, it was more about being a part of something. And so for me, my research had to kind of stem from that. That was the root.
So what other characters, more popular characters, influenced your portrayal of Jack? I know, again, not going into what the character actually does, but what you sort of, did you tap into other
characters? Yeah, if I'm going to be honest, I didn't tap into other characters. I just took from my own experience in life. And I think in life we always, well, you know, I think it's, we always want to be a part of something, whether it's a group of people or it's an idea. So I just took my own experience and fed it into the character.
What other projects can we see you in or catch you in, either before or after this comes out?
Yeah, just before starting this, I literally just wrapped on a Netflix TV show called Young Wallander, where I play a character called Reza Al-Rahman. And it's a revamp of the old Wallander. Sure. With Kenneth Branagh. And prior to that, and currently, I run a screen acting course called Film Club.
London. Is there a social media tag that we can
use? Absolutely. If you head over to Instagram and type in Film Club, LDN.
LDN.
Yeah, excellent. Short for London. Yeah.
Thank you
very much for your time. Yeah. And make sure you watch the film.
Will do.
All right. Well, Jack's coming for you.
All right.
Thanks.
You're listening to Shoot the Breeze on Resonance 104.4 FM. I'm Marcus E. Acker, and we're here with two actresses from the film When the Screaming Starts. Please tell us your name and the character that you play.
My name's Octavia Gilmore, and I am playing Amy Kitson.
Excellent. And yourself?
I'm Caitlin Rennell, and I'm playing Claire.
Excellent. Now, we know we've been told that we can't really go into too much as to what your characters do, because that would give the game away. From your perspective, or your character's perspective, Octavia, we'll start with you. What is the story about?
I guess the story is about a guy who's an aspiring serial killer and his journey to kind of fulfill his dream. I think he wants to be famous, and that's the way he wants to get famous. And it's kind of about the characters he meets along the way, and it's also about the documentary maker who's making the documentary, and they meet a bunch of people along the way, and they get through some sticky times.
Okay, so, and then you've been on set. I mean, this is one of our first Shoot the Breeze encounters on set. So we've experienced for one day what you experiencing for how many days How many days are you shooting this?
So far it's 10.
So far 10?
Yeah.
Day 10.
So what is your experience? What has your experience been? We'll start with you, Caitlin. Mm. What's your experience been working on set?
Well, this is really my first time on a set like this, so it's kind of a big learning experience, and being with people who are super professional and know what they're doing, but also know how to have a laugh as well, which I think is so important, especially like when it's cold or like we're outside or something. We just like, it makes feel like more of a family, which is fun, it's nice to be in these kind of really interesting places as well, like the house that we were filming in, and then here at the warehouse. It's like almost feels immersive sometimes, which is fun.
And who do you spend your time with most on set?
For me, it's as far as like actors, it's like Ed and I call him Norman. Ed and Norman.
Jared.
No, Jared. Jared, right, yeah, yes. No, I know.
Is that another thing? Is that as actors, when you're in character, do you tend to just go throughout while you're on set, just refer to the other actors by their names or by their character names? Octavia, what do you do?
Yeah, it depends. Sometimes you accidentally do call your fellow actors by their character names, particularly if you're sort of like shooting and then stopping quickly. It's sometimes the easiest way when the actors kind of become the characters. But yeah, I mean, I've known quite a few of the actors for a while, and we've worked together before, so it's been really fun working together on this.
Okay, so on your downtime, while you're on set and the DOP and the grips are moving things around to make everything, well, what do you do as an actor to sort of keep yourself either in character or to switch off out of character? What do you do?
Okay, I really like to think, if I'm like about to shoot a scene, I like to think, what does my character think is going to happen at this moment? Sort of, what mood are they in, what's just happened previously, and what do they think is going to happen? And I try to think of something that maybe isn't going to happen, so that it kind of keeps it alive and fresh. So I'm just sort of getting into the right headspace while sort of, you know, you having your makeup touched up or your microphone put on, so it's sort of a juggling act.
Sure. Caitlin, do you want to talk more about your character?
Yeah, for sure. So Claire is, Aiden, the character's girlfriend, and she is kind of hungry for that power. So the reason she latches on to Aiden is because he wants to be a serial killer, and she kind of sees that in him, and but she doesn't realize, she doesn't really care for his personality or anything. She's quite a stoic character, and all she wants is that
the power.
Yeah. So she's kind of like trying to get that out of him. It's interesting to play such a stoic character, because you have to have you can't have huge emotional journeys. So yeah, it's a bit more of the subtlety, which is fun.
Octavia, yourself, can you give us anything about what your character is about?
Oh, I don't know how, to what extent I can...
Very steely character.
Yeah. My character's really fun to play because she's... She doesn't have many morals. So she's kind of... She's very self-interested. And she has a really dark side to her. And that's really fun to play because you get to take yourself out of your ordinary experience and just have fun with it. So yeah, it's been a really fun character.
Okay, do you have any projects that are coming either before or after this that you would like to promote?
Gosh, can I have a second to think?
Sure, absolutely. Caitlin, do you have any that you want to, while you're thinking of the projects?
Yeah, so I make comedy sketches, yes. And you can check them out on my website, octaviagilmore.com, or you can follow me on social media. I am on all various platforms, octaviagilmore_.
Perfect, we're going to do that. And what about yourself, Katie?
So on Instagram, I'm KatieCaitlin16. Caitlin spelled K-A-I-T-L-I-N. Because there are many different spellings. And then just Caitlin Rennell on Twitter.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Cheers. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're listening to Shoot the Breeze on Resonance 104.4 FM. I'm Marcus E. Acko.
And I'm David Campbell.
And we're here with one of the co-producers of the film When the Screaming Starts. So please tell us your name and what your role is in the project.
Hi everyone, my name is Lucinda Rhodes Thackra and I'm one of the co-producers of When the Screaming Starts. Everything's been going very well, good lengthy time on pre-production. Obviously I'm down on set today, I'm not down every day. I've been doing a lot of contracts and supporting our director Connor Baru, taking them through to post-production and all the way through to distribution of the movie.
So how did you get involved with the project?
So Connor approached me in December. I was away in Spain actually shooting a horror film, and he emailed to say, did you want to have a look at the script? We'd like some support on the project. And I said, hey, look, it's a great concept. I've looked at some of your previous work. I'm happy to get involved. So here I am, and it's going very well, and I'm pleased to be a part of it.
So you're not on set every single day, because obviously you're working behind the scenes with contracts, as you said. So
this is correct. Contracts and supporting on a lot of other areas, but I haven't needed to be on set constantly. Producers don't always have to be on set every day. Sometimes we choose to be, sometimes we don't. On this one, I've come on set as much as I can. But I've got some other projects I'm working on later in the year, hopefully with Connor as well, and some other of the guys. So yes, but I'm here today.
So from your perspective, when do you think we'll be able to... Oh, just before you rush off. When do you feel that this project will be ready for the audience to watch?
So we're hoping to have it fully edited by June. We'd like to take a trailer and some artwork to Cannes. Connor might want to get involved in this conversation.
We've asked him already.
Has he said the same thing? I hope so.
No, he hasn't said...
Connor, we have conflicting info here.
No, he didn't say...
The guys asked, when do we think that the film will be ready to view? And I said, we're hoping to get it finished by June, but have a trailer at Cannes with some artwork.
Yeah, what have I said?
No, yeah, we didn't ask you that question.
Oh.
Ah, yeah. You owe me an apology.
So I'm so sorry. So sorry. Apologising to our director
these
here.
These guys are just trying to get some conflict on the show. No. Some drama.
Would we try and do that?
No.
This is a documentary, not drama.
So we're hoping to get a trailer and some artwork to some sales agents in Cannes this year.
Okay.
And hopefully have a finished picture by June. And then we'll start going to more sales agents and distributors.
So your ideal would be to have a cinematic release, or are you looking more independent avenues?
Well, everybody would like a theatrical release. It's very hard in this space with indie filmmaking. But a release DVD, video on demand, you know, would be lovely to have, you know, a deal with Redbox as well in the US, things like that. It all helps. But it's difficult to have a theatrical release, unfortunately. But maybe a few cinemas might be nice, but we'll see.
Okay. If anyone wanted to follow you on social media, what would they need to do?
So I'm...
Say, don't follow me on social media.
Can I check?
Yeah, you can check.
Can you edit this?
No, whilst you're checking...
we'll keep this part in. This one is fine.
What about Frightfest?
Frightfest.
Would you want to get that into...
Definitely. Yes. Be great, yeah.
So that's in August, isn't it?
That's August, yes.
Right. Okay.
Hopefully we'll be ready for it this year, if not 2021.
Okay.
So you can follow me personally, at Lucinda Rhodes, LucindaRhodes, or my production company, which is at PicPerf Limited, PicPerf Ltd. Follow me, I'll follow you back. Woo!
And what other projects do you want to promote other than When the Screaming Starts?
Sorry, I'm laughing at the guys. They're great fun, these two. I've got a war film out called We Go In at Dawn, starring our Strictly winner, Kelvin Fletcher.
Oh, nice.
So he's awesome. Debuting his first feature film. Wonderful to be on set with him. He's an absolutely charming, wonderful actor of a man. And that will be out 30th of March on DVD, video on demand. Please go down to Asda, Sainsbury's, Tesco's, any store, and go and pick it up and support it, because it's a great, great film.
Absolutely. We'll be promoting that on our Facebook page as well, so it'll be good.
Excellent. Okay. Cheers.